The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, July 23rd, and we're going to break down we're going to do burning questions on the AFC West today with Ryan Wilson in the feed. Every other division, burning training camp questions. So if you got there's a question about each team, what's the most important question to solve or to figure out or to possibly, you know, extended to a bigger question in training camp coming up on Monday, another Mailbag Monday. We have already recorded it. It is a rousing episode. Highly recommend you check it out. And while you're checking that out, don't forget to check out CBS Sports HQ because the NBA playoffs have wrapped, and that means it's NBA draft season. And CBS Sports HQ is your home for Thursday night's event. We'll have pick-by-pick coverage, including grades and expert analysis for both rounds. How do you watch HQ? I'm glad you asked. You can watch on the CBS Sports app on your phone. It even pops out so you can have it play while you scroll Twitter. That's right. You can watch using the CBS Sports app on your connected TV, and you can watch on your computer via our NBA draft tracker page, which will be easily available on the CBSSports.com site. It's all free. It features our good pals Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander, Avery Johnson, Bill Ryder, and Rip Hamilton. So don't forget, NBA draft coverage tips off 7:30 p.m. on CBS Sports HQ this coming Thursday. Oh man, I love NBA draft season, Wilson. You know why?
This is not NFL draft season.
Yeah. Well, one, it's fun to bet on.
Oh, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Tons of draft props.
You need, who is your Mac Jones in this draft class for the NBA?
Scotty Barnes, the Florida State forward.
Okay, yeah, I don't know anyone. Who's gonna be the top pick?
Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I don't know.
-10,000. He's really good. I would personally take Jalen Suggs or Scotty Barnes first. I think
it is crazy that I know literally no one coming out of college.
You probably Suggs played at Gonzaga, freshman, really fast point guard, great shooter.
I didn't watch any college basketball this year for the first time forever. So I just saw clips of UNC because I'm a UNC homer.
I love Scotty Barnes. I have a man.
I did used to love the draft because it used to be
on your birthday or the day after.
That's right. Yeah,
it used to be on our birthdays. And because they push everything back this year, it's running later.
Let me tell you this story. It was my prime when they had the lottery that determined the Jordan Patrick lottery? Ewing. The Patrick Ewing lottery, right. That was
1985 for this.
Woo. Man, that was
your
that
prime. Was that is. I was
that
four.
That was my prime. That's right. I was 12. That is
depressing. All right. Let's get into some questions. Why don't you tell me what your burning question is for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Okay.
We start with the Chargers. How about that?
Let's start with the Chargers.
Let's start with the Chargers, and then I'll find the burning question for the Chiefs that I have lost in our Slack.
That's fine. I can just tell you them. I got them in front of me.
Oh, you got them in front of you?
Yeah, I got them.
All right, let's do Chiefs then.
Chiefs. Okay. Oh, I'm glad you caught me. So, obviously, there's not a lot to concern ourselves with the Chiefs. They went to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl the year before that. The reason they struggled is their offensive line in the Super Bowl, and that's because they played one of the best defenses on planet Earth. My biggest question, however, isn't about the offensive line because they've done some things to address those. My biggest question is, can this defense get after it on a consistent basis? That's my question. So they drafted Nick Bolton in the second round, the linebacker. They needed linebacker help desperately in the 4 million mock drafts I did. I often had them taking a linebacker in the first round because they didn't need help at a lot of other places. And I wonder if what they can do defensively, I mean, they signed Taco Charlton. I don't know if that's going to solve anything, but they need help in terms of pass rushers. They need help in the middle of the defense. They did that, I think, with the linebacker, the trap there. Can the defense make the difference? Because at the end of the day, they're winning 13, 14 games. It's just a matter of when the rubber meets the road, quotation marks, and they need a defensive stand. Can they get it? So that's my biggest question on this team.
I think that's a great question. They were 22nd in DVOA last year, 24th in weighted DVOA on defense.
And by the way, I totally forgot. They traded for Orlando Brown to help with the offensive line. They signed it. They signed Cal Long. So I think that'll be better. But go ahead. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, there's no reason to think the offense won't be good.
They drafted Creed Humphrey. I've turned my brain off for a month and a half, but they got the center from Oklahoma. So, I mean, they made all the right moves to address that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's really no reason to think that the offense will be bad, barring an injury to Patrick Mahomes. And even then, you kind of feel like Chad Henne could put up enough stats where, yeah, that team will be good. But it is fair to wonder if the defense can win them games, because they're going to need to at some point, particularly in the playoffs.
Right. They needed against the Buccaneers what happened to the Buccaneers against the Packers, even though the Packers lost. Well, they intercepted Tom Brady three times. And I think that was the finals, right? The NFC Championship game. They weren't able to do that against Tom Brady because he just kept going off. And that was the difference, that and the offensive line for the Chiefs, obviously. But there was no situation where the Chiefs were able to stymie Tom Brady. And, in fact, by the end of it, your favorite player, who's the safety for the rookie safety for the Buccaneers that was able
Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah, he was able to show his face, or to show his butt, sort of, to Tyreek when he made that big play.
That's true. There's players on this defense. They brought in Jerron Reed. They still have Frank Clark, Taco Charlton, former first-round pick. Chris Jones is a stud in the middle, and he's locked on a big contract. Anthony Hitchens has been a key player for them. In the secondary, they got They got
Tyron Matthew.
There it is.
They also have Legarius Sneed, who looked like a really good pick last year. And then Juan Thornhill, who looked like a potential stud before tearing his ACL from the 2019 draft class.
Yep.
So Mike Hughes is a former first-round pick out of UFC that didn't work out for the Vikings that they picked up this offseason, I believe. They've got players. And Steve Spagnuolo is still there. He's done a great job with this defense. They were much, much better in 2019 than they were in 2020. And
especially in the playoffs, the defense sort of came together.
Correct. The defense was actually 14th in 2019 in terms of DVOA. So they were barely above average, but they were above average.
Yeah, they were still. Oh, and by the way, your guy's coming back, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He'll be back too along
the way. On offense, yeah. I think that's the key, is what you want if you're the Chiefs is your defense is slightly above average. You don't need to have an elite defense. It may be great if you did, but you've got an elite offense. You have the best offense in football. You need a slightly above average defense. And you need that defense to sort of peak and come together as the season is coming to a close, just like 2019. That's not an easy task, but that's what happens when you've been to three straight AFC championship games and two out of the last three Super Bowls.
Yeah. And I think if you're Andy Reid with that offense, Patrick Mahomes, you want your defense to be one that is high risk, meaning that you get after it, you get a bunch of sacks, and sometimes you have a big place, but it doesn't matter because you get sacks and turnovers and you still, the other team scores.
You don't want to be like a vanilla, like Ben don't break.
Right. You don't want the other team to have the ball for, 30 minutes at a time.
That's right.
Because you can't get off the field.
The Los Angeles Chargers starting off a new regime. And the question, your burning question for the Chargers, what kind of coach will Brandon Staley be?
Oh, you found it. Yeah, that's right. That's
it. That one's in the rundown. Debo really dropping the ball here.
So, I mean, that's the big question. We've sort of, shied our eyes away from what Brandon Staley will be because, as you've noted, he had 1 year success and was really successful with the Rams as defensive coordinator. And Anthony Lynn lost this team a bunch of games last year, 3 or 4 games, let's say, the Chargers, just by his conservative nature, late in games and decisions.
3 or 4 feels short, too, by the way.
Right. But the point is that this is a playoff team, and they have a fantastic quarterback who blew everyone's mind. And, I always apologize to Justin Herbert for doubting him because he dunked on me with the way he played last year, and power to him. And they drafted Rashawn Slater on offense. That's huge. The offensive line has to get better. So get better there. They signed Corey Linsley, the best center in the league. They signed Matt Filer, who the Steelers could desperately use. They got better on offense. The question becomes, is Brandon Staley going to be able to make all this stuff work? The defense should be really good because Brandon Staley, that's his bread and butter. But I want to see how a young coach, is this guy going to be Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, or is he going to be Zach Taylor?
Yeah, it's a great question. if he's Zach Taylor, this team could take a big step backwards. And I don't think we'll look at Anthony Lynn, you know, like Jim Caldwell, where he, you know, got fired. I mean, you know, look, Anthony Lynn didn't win a lot of games. I think just one winning season. But Justin Herbert was freaking awesome last year. And you can rip it. We can rip Anthony Lynn all we want for his coaching mistakes and his in-game gaffes and all that. You know, he's still a guy who helped develop Justin Herbert in his rookie season. Granted, yeah, it was by accident. They needed Tyrod Taylor
and to get staff. To be fair, and I think someone pointed this out in one of the questions, Pep Hamilton also deserves a lot of credit as well. So, I mean, there's a reason that he has success. And here's the thing about Anthony Lynn, and we talk about this all the time. Like, if you watch Hard Knocks, his players loved him. The people that worked with him loved him. But it just, when the game mattered, he sometimes made the wrong decision. Is Brandon Staley, who's by all accounts, you know, a progressive up and coming stats guy or whatever, analytics guy, a lot of these guys get super conservative when the game's on the line and they revert back to, let me trust my gut. So is Brandon Staley going to be an analytics guy and be willing to face the media and fans who are angry if he makes an analytics-based decision that doesn't work? Or is he going to just rely on his gut and kick a field goal like Matt LaFleur did in the playoffs, even though Aaron Rodgers is quarterback? So that's what, I mean, we'll find out together, because he doesn't know the answer to those questions, so he's thrown into the fire and has to make a decision with 30 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter.
You can't ever know how somebody's going to be as a head coach until they actually get out there and do it. I mean, you can think, you can say like, all right, I think this guy's going to be a good head coach because, you know, he's been a great coordinator. He's very smart. He knows what he's doing, blah, blah, blah.
It doesn't matter. Let me introduce you to Matt Patricia.
That's a good point. I mean, you just don't know how somebody's going to be once they have to run a team. It's a different job than being a coordinator. You're a manager. You're going from being a laborer to being a manager. And that's just a different job. And sometimes it doesn't always translate. So I concur with your assessment that is the most important thing. And by the way, he can win more games. And if Justin Herbert looks like crap, or Justin Herbert looks like he's regressing, people are going to start raising some eyebrows.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the, and look, there's very real possibility that Justin Herbert isn't nearly as good as he was last year, 'cause he was so crazy good last year.
Correct.
And, you know, Brandon, if I'm Brandon Staley, I'm making that comment day one when I talk to the media at training camp.
We love this kid. We don't know that it'll be better. I mean, how could we, guys?
And that way you can say, hey, I told you what was going to happen.
Yeah, I told you he sucks. Let's take a break when we come back. The Raiders and the Broncos.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The Denver Broncos. Your burning question is a good one for this. If not Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, can Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock be good enough?
By the way, that's like saying, if not Ferrari and Lamborghini,
can
Escort and,
yeah, like and Honda be good enough? Honda's are great. I don't know why.
Yeah, not Honda. Escort and what's an Escort like car? I don't even know. They don't even make Escorts anymore.
Can Pinto be good enough?
Yeah, Pinto and Escort. Can that get us over the finish line? It can, but the problem is that you'll be behind 25 other teams.
Correct.
Would you rather start Teddy or would you rather start Drew?
I mean, I sort of fall in the same boat as a lot of these other teams where, well, no, actually, I take that back. So I don't, for the Patriots or the 49ers, I don't want to start Trey Lance or Mac Jones if things are even or close, because eventually you're probably going to go to the other guy. I'd rather start with a veteran, see how it works out, give the rookie a little more time to learn. The young guy a little more time to learn.
He's going to get free.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Drew Locke's different. I want to go Drew Locke. And if Locke can't, like, this is your time, Drew.
Yeah.
Make a leap forward. Prove why you were drafted as high as you were. you got a fairly short leash because everybody needs to win around here. And if it doesn't work out in the first few weeks, in comes Teddy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That is presuming that the competition is close. If it's, you know, if Teddy's just miles better, then you start Teddy.
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, this is just popped into my head because we haven't had a reason to discuss it. But I would imagine that if Teddy's dominating, there's a chance you, if you could trade Drew Lock, you trade him in the preseason.
Sure.
If you get a third or fourth round pick for him, I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that'd be nice. But
yeah, third, probably not. Fourth round pick or whatever. Yeah, sure.
I remember the George Patton, the GM there. George Payton, the GM in Denver, the new GM in Denver, was with Minnesota when they drafted Teddy. He's a big Teddy guy.
Oh, good.
So that may sway things. And he wasn't there when Elway drafted Drew Lock.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll see about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that's, I mean, like I said, 3%, I feel like that. Deshaun Watson told Kareem Jackson, who played in Houston with Deshaun and now plays for the Broncos, that he wants to come there, according to Kareem Jackson. He very well may. I don't know if Denver's entertaining that idea. When we talk about the teams that might be interested in Deshaun Watson, we've mentioned the Eagles. We've mentioned the Broncos. We've mentioned the Dolphins and your Panthers. So let's say Deshaun Watson, because we talked about Aaron Rodgers. Deshaun Watson goes to Denver. Where do they now finish in that division?
Second.
Yeah.
They're not beating the Chiefs.
Do they beat the Chiefs at all during the regular season?
Oh, yeah. Could easily go 1-1 against the Chiefs. Right. I mean, Denver would immediately become one of the four best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, that's right.
Along with the Chiefs. So the Bills, Chiefs, Broncos, and...
I mean, Browns or Ravens? Are you taking the...
I guess.
Might be the Browns.
Might be the Browns.
Baker seems like he's found it, right? Yep.
Might be the Browns. All right, finally... What is your Raiders burning question?
I mean, we talk about Derek Carr all the time, and Derek Carr is your Jimmy Garoppolo to me, but he actually played really well last year.
Yeah, I don't think Derek Carr is the problem in Las Vegas.
Right, so here's the issue. They've made a ton of terrible draft picks under Mike Mayock and John Gruden, and that to me is the biggest concern, and my burning question as I wrote it was, where is you? There he is. Can recent high-round draft picks actually work out slash contribute? Because you're just wasting draft picks. I mean, we talked about Lynn Bowden. We'll talk about Lynn Bowden on the mailbag. He was drafted in the third round. He was there like 2.5 weeks, and they traded him.
80th overall pick. They traded for a bag of peanuts.
Before he actually played his first snap.
Incredible.
As a third-round pick. It's now the seventh rounder who got cut because he wasn't good enough. And that's bonkers. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And you go back earlier. They traded a third-round pick for... Martavis Bryant to the Steelers. He's out of football. They traded a third-round pick for Antonio Brown. They cut him after he burned his feet and arrived in a hot air balloon.
Cryogenic chamber.
Crypto chamber. He's a crypt keeper.
He burned his fingers on Dogecoin.
Oh, my gosh. So it is like one thing after the next. And I haven't even talked about – pull up the draft picks.
So recent high-round draft picks, to your point, and I'm just looking at defense. Farrell –
okay, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Cleveland Farrell, 2019 first-round pick. Damon Arnett, 2020 first-round pick. Jonathan Abram, 2019 first-round pick. Trayvon Mullen, 2019 second-round pick. Trayvon Morig, 2021 second-round pick. Divine Diablo, 2021 third-round pick. Malcolm Kuntz, 2021 third-round pick. These are all guys who are going to be prominently featured on this defense, which everyone sort of expects to suck.
Yeah, the Damon Arnett thing, that was a surprise that he was drafted so high, 19th overall. There's a chance that...
He didn't even make the team.
There's talk that he's on the outs. Henry Ruggs went first overall, and we talked about Henry Ruggs we'll talk about him on the Mailbag podcast on Monday. And I've said this throughout the duration. Jalen Waddle is so much more accomplished than Henry Ruggs coming out. They're both extremely fast, but Lynn Bowden, we just talked about. This year's first-round pick, Alex Leatherwood, people were freaking out, myself included, that he went 17th. And
Colt Miller looks like a good pick.
Yeah, that was a good pick. But the thing with Alex Leatherwood is, in a vacuum, if Bill Belichick takes him 17th, like, okay, we get it. But the track record with Mayock and Gruden, and you've made this point, is that it's clear that, or it's clear, to, the speculation seems to be that Gruden's the one pulling the strings.
Yeah, No, he is.
Mayock's going to go out there and face the media. Cleveland Farrell was drafted fourth overall. And I think we talked about this at some point previously, like in my last mock draft before the actual 2019 draft, I had him going 25th or something. That felt more in line with where he should have gone. And I remember Mayock saying when he was drafted, we liked him for his locker room makeup and his good teammate skills and all that. And that's great. But the dude ain't getting a lot of sacks, and maybe that changes, but it hasn't changed so far. So just that's my point. Like, are these draft picks going to work out to the point where they help your team? Because here's the thing. Not only are you missing out on guys that can help your team, you've lost the opportunity to fill a hole with that player if you had gone in another direction. So that's my big concern. I think Derek Carr will continue to play efficiently as he does in John Gruden's system. I think the offense will at times be able to put up points, but I think rookies, young guys helping out who are high round draft picks, and of course the defense, which absolutely was dog to do last year, can they turn a corner in a division that's one of the toughest in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's just asking we have a 3 or 4 year history, right, of the Raiders front office, John Gruden and Mike Mayock, not doing a very efficient or proficient job of drafting and acquiring young players through the NFL draft selection process. And now, in what is becoming a critical year for the futures of John Gruden and Mike Mayock, the players that they drafted who have not been efficient or proficient are going to be the ones who decide whether or not, you know, they continue on as, you know,
so quickly
as the guys doing the job.
We'd like to do this. I'll do this quickly. Instead of Henry Ruggs, they could have had Justin Jefferson. That makes them better, clearly. Let's see. Instead of Damon Arnett.
Or they could have had CeeDee Lamb, too, by the way.
CeeDee Lamb.
They took Henry Ruggs as the first wide receiver.
That's right. So they took Arnett at 19. They wanted a cornerback. He was the next cornerback to go. Gladney, he had an up-and-down season. Iguanagani, up-and-down. So maybe I have to circle back on that. Trevon Diggs, Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson was great.
I mean, it's early for cornerbacks, but if Damon Arnett doesn't make the team, then it doesn't matter who they could have taken.
So think of it. I'll just stop with this one. So Damon Arnett may not make the team, the 19th overall pick in 2020. And Lynn Bowden was traded weeks after he was drafted as a third-round pick in that draft class. After he went right after Arnett in terms of when the Raiders selected him. Those two guys might be off the team before the start of the 20. Well, one definitely is before the start of the 2021 season.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to try and be fair about this. I'm going to make reasonable selections. But the Raiders, I don't even think this is unfair. But their three first round picks in 2019 could have had Devin White. Montez Sweat and Byron Murphy or Rocky Asin.
Yeah, and I think the Byron Murphy, Rocky Asin versus Jonathan Abram is probably pretty close, but I think both those players have been slightly better, and Abram was hurt.
I mean, they clearly need a cornerback.
Yeah, his rookie season.
And they took Trayvon Mullen early in the second round.
Yeah.
They just only draft guys out of Alabama and Clemson. It is crazy.
We've talked about that before. But it's
wild. Like, what are you scared about? Just take Devin White. I mean, there's so many guys that they could. This 2019 draft class, it looks like it's loaded.
Yeah, we need
to. They had three draft picks, and they're coming away with a safety, a running back, and an ineffective pass rusher at number four overall.
Maybe when we get back into the draft season, I'll go through all these career approximate value, the metric that Pro Football Reference uses to sort of value how good these players are, and we'll go by draft class and see exactly where these Mayock and Gruden draft classes rank, because, you know, eyeballing it, it doesn't look great. But maybe, I mean,
the Cleveland Farrell thing in 2019, everybody was either mocking him, Devin White, or Josh Allen, the linebacker, yeah, the pass rusher out of Kentucky. I mean, either one of those guys changes the equation dramatically if you have one of those guys on your roster.
They mean you don't have to draft an edge rusher in the next few years. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So, yeah, not a great job drafting by the Las Vegas Raiders.
This draft class actually looks pretty good, the 2021. We'll see. Leatherwood's obviously the one that will get the most attention. But the other names that followed, they have a chance to be good. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the AFC West. We'll be back on Monday with a Mailbag Monday. Wilson, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.